Good morning. Certainly good to be with you all this morning as we continue our study. This class is being offered as part of the studies at the West End Church of Christ in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And we are in the process of studying how to glorify God through our lives. And what we're doing is looking at ways that we can glorify God through various aspects of our life. And so far we have looked at our online presence, our social media, our speech, persecution, suffering, dress, worship, employment, and today we'll be looking at citizenship. How do we glorify God through our citizenship? And as we look at this, there'll be certainly some questions that will come up, and if we don't answer all those, please feel free to reach out to me. We'll be happy to discuss those. But glorifying God through our citizenship. Before we begin, let's start with a word of prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you, we thank you for all that you do for us, for loving us and caring for us in so many ways. We thank you for the country that we live in, for the freedoms that we enjoy. We ask that you be with our rulers, we're thankful for them. We pray that they'll make wise decisions. We pray that your word can abound underneath their leadership. We pray that much good can be accomplished. We pray that we could live peaceable lives. We pray that that we can accomplish much good in your kingdom. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the great gift of your Son, for all the many blessings that we have through him, and we pray that we will understand that all these blessings come from you. We thank you for loving us and caring for us. We ask you to be with us through this class. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So we're talking about our citizenship, and why do we want to glorify God? Well, we were bought at a price. Mentioned in the prayer, the great sacrifice of Christ, and we were bought with that great sacrifice, and we are God's. Our body and our spirit belong to God. And just going through a little review, glorifying means to magnify, extol, praise, especially of glorifying God, ascribing honor to him, acknowledging him as to his being, his attributes, his acts, and also it could mean glorifying oneself, which is not a good thing. But that's something that we'll be looking at as well in this study. So in glorifying God, we basically want to talk the talk and walk the walk. We want to be consistent in all of our life and everything that we do. So regarding citizenship, there's a problem possibly. Our country sees issues with our leaders. There are numerous politicians, including presidents, who are known for their scandals that they have been involved with, alleged involvement, documented involvement. So we can see that there are things that go on in this life. And some of those things include, either their involvement in homosexuality, maybe their support of homosexuality, and likewise for all these other situations that we've got listed here, adultery, bribery, extortion, abortion, lying, robbery, murder, illegitimate children, drunkenness, pride. And then we go on and on, whether it be being self-centered, whether it's doing things that are improper for whatever reason it might be, maybe for the betterment of them, whether it's flattery, maybe whether it's being hypocritical, all sorts of things fall into that category. And we know as well, as they know, that we could be guilty of those things. And so we have to be careful that we aren't setting ourselves up for a different standard than we're expecting from those that are in office. But regardless, the question comes up, how do I submit without showing my agreement to these sins? If I show agreement to individuals who are in power, am I showing that I'm okay with these sins if they're involved in those sins? So what we want to do is just look at some scriptures this morning. And so we'll be reading some different scriptures and we'll take some conclusions from those scriptures. So a little different approach. We're going to read several scriptures just right up front, actually about four or five, and then we'll make application from those scriptures. So what's our responsibility towards these individuals? That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. So in 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 13 through 17, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And so that's one of the passages that we'll be looking at. So let's add to that passage with another one. Here's Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. You want to be afraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to do good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. They are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So that's our second passage. Let's look at our third passage, found in Titus, the third chapter, verses 1 through 3. Remind them to be subject to rulers, authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful, and hating one another. So certainly a lot in these three verses here. Our next passage is in 1 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, I exhort first all the supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Another passage, Matthew 22, verses 17 through 22. Tell us therefore what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? And they said, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. When they had heard these things, they marveled and left him and went their way. So those are the verses, basically, that we're going to be taking several of our points from. And we'll add a few other verses towards the end of our study. So governing authorities, they have a role. And their role, as we look at this, we're going to see some verses that are going to be repeating. And we're going to do that on purpose so that there are different parts of the verse that we're going to be emphasizing for these points. So the authorities are God-appointed. It's a tremendous responsibility that authorities have to carry out all the duties that they have. Romans, the 13th chapter and verse 1, let every soul be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And so this is by God's will that these exist. Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 3 through 4, says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. You want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute him who practices evil. So we can see that rulers are there to protect those that do good. Likewise, as we already looked at this passage, verses 4 says, but if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. And so the rulers are there, they're appointed by God. They're there to protect what is good. They are there to be a threat to that which is evil and to provide punishment. Also in 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 14, it says, or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. So once again, it's good for those that are doing good. Rulers should be bad for those that are doing evil. Authorities are called God's ministers. In Romans, the 13th chapter, this occurs three times. This says in verse 4, "For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, and venture to execute wrath on him who practices evil." And then if we look at verse 6, it says, "For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing." And so these individuals are God's ministers. They are here to do things that are good and helpful for Christians and for God's children. Well, we've looked at what the government's role is, or what governing authority's role is. So what is the citizen's role? And I think as we go through these passages, it looks like there's a whole lot more for citizens to do than there is for governors to do. Romans, the 13th chapter and verse 1, it says, "Let every soul be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." And so as we look at this, we can see that we have to obey. And if we look at verse 5, "Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake." So we need to be subject to that. In Titus, the 3rd chapter and verse 1, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work." And so we need to be in subjection. We need to be in obedience to those that are in power. In 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, in verse 13, "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme." So oftentimes I think what happens is we only want to submit to those ordinances that we're in agreement with, not to every ordinance of man. And it says for the Lord's sake that we're doing that. Romans, the 13th chapter, verse 2, "Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of man, and those who resist bring judgment on themselves." And so, as we see, this next point, if we resist, then we're only bringing the judgment on ourselves. In the 13th chapter of Romans, verse 5, "Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake." It's the right thing to do, and we need to do it also because of wrath. And so that's why we need to do this. We need to partake and submit. In 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, in verses 2 through 3, it says, "For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God." Honoring those that are in power is good, and it's acceptable in God's sight, and it will lead us to lead a quiet and peaceful life in godliness and reverence. Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 6 through 7, talks about paying taxes. "For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, therefore to whom fear, honor to whom honor." And then Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 17, actually starting in verse 21, "They said to him, Caesar's, and he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And so we can see that taxes are expected to be paid. These are the words of Jesus as he spoke to those who were trying to test him regarding paying taxes to Caesar. Well, further in our citizen's role, how about the use of our freedom? We have lots of freedoms that we enjoy in this country. And we need to make sure that we're using our freedom for the right things. Titus, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 3, "Remind them to be subject to rulers, authorities to obey, to be ready for every good work. Speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men." And so it says they spend enough time, beginning in verse 3, "We're also foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another." Those are things that we shouldn't be partaking in. The things that are in verses 1 and 2 are things that we need to be doing. So we need to use our freedom to partake in those. In the 13th chapter in verse 3 of Romans, "For rulers are not terror to good works, but to evil. You want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same." So we can see that, once again, using our freedom has a great benefit. 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 3, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. So certainly that is good for us that we could do that, that we could live that kind of life, and we could use our freedom to be able to do that. 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 15 through 16. This is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using a liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants for God. We can use that freedom to do much good in God's kingdom. Romans, the 13th chapter, verse 3, for rulers are not terror to good works, but to do evil. You want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. So we want to do that which is good so that no fault can be found in us. And in First Peter, the second chapter, verse 15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And so there can be nothing said wrong of us if we do that which is good. 1 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 1 through 2, it says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. So we need to pray for those that are in power. We need to pray that they make wise decisions. Pray that under them that God's word can abound in our country and throughout the world. And the next passage is the same passage, 1 Timothy 2, but we need to give thanks. And I think oftentimes what happens is we pray for them, but I don't know that we really give thanks for those that are in power. And the reason we need to do so is so that we can lead a quiet and peaceful life, in godliness and reverence. And so we need to think of the reason that we say those prayers. We're told that we need to do that, and the reason is provided why we do that. Also, as a citizen, we have priorities. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. So we're told directly some things that we need to do and what priorities we need to have in our life. So as we think about our roles, let's go back through these, because there's several of them. Every soul must be subject and obey the governing authorities. We can't resist governing authorities. And if we do resist, we're bringing judgment on ourselves. We must submit because of the wrath of these men, and also because it's the right thing to do. Christians are obligated to pay our taxes and to give proper honor to those that are in power. We need to use our freedom for goodness, and not to do those things that are evil. We need to do good so that no fault can be found with us, and so that even our enemies won't have anything evil to say. We need to pray for those that are ruling, those that are in power. We need to give thanks for those that are in power. And we need to keep our priorities straight. We need to honor all people. We need to love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Well, as we look at this, here's some questions that you may have. Are there any exception clauses? Does 1 Peter 2, Romans 13, Titus 3, 1 Timothy 2, and Matthew 22, do they provide an exception or a qualifier to withhold honor from any dishonorable leader? Well, how about this? Is there some indication that we don't have to give respect to a dishonorable leader or ruler? Or for Christians, is this the worst of times for governing authorities? Is this the worst that governing authorities have been? Are Christians suffering worse underneath this? And are we subject to much, much worse times than previous in history? Well, let's recall when these words were written. Rome, which ruled the world in Paul's day, began as a republic. By the first century, was ruled by dictators who called themselves emperors. Some were noble men, but few would have served as examples of good behavior. Claudius ruled from AD 41 to 54, and during this time, Paul wrote many of his letters. And he's the one who issued the order expelling all Jews from Rome, as in Acts 13 and verse 2. And that reads, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born of Pontius, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to him. So we can see here as an example that two individuals who were expelled basically because they were Jews. Well, another leader that you've probably heard of is Nero from AD 54 to 68. He was a well-known hater for Christians. The Christians, followers of the way, never enjoyed popularity among the Romans. They refused to worship the emperor as a god, to give in to their ways. Therefore, the loyalty to Rome was questioned. And Nero raised the persecution of Christians to new heights of evil. Nero set Christians on fire to light his garden parties, or had them torn to pieces by wild dogs in his arena. Even his fellow Romans were appalled by his cruelty. And so we think about this. These words, we need to remember when these words were written. And Paul appealed to Nero for a review of his case in Palestine in Acts 25, verses 10 through 12. So Paul said, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat. Therefore, I ought to be judged. To the Jews, I have done no wrong, as you very well know. Or if I am an offender or I have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar." Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, "You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go." And later, when a large part of Rome burned in AD 64, Nero blamed it on the Christians. So he took the blame and placed it on someone else and made them a scapegoat. Yet Paul and Peter wrote while living under Nero, "Honor the king." And so other rulers committed persecutions against Christians throughout the ages, and they have feared those who would obey God over men, as we see in Acts 5th chapter, verse 29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God." And part of the reason they fear that is because they know the faith that these individuals had and the faith that they would stand with God. And they were fearful that they would overtake. Possibly they thought that it was going to be an earthly kingdom. Because of that, they feared for themselves and for their rulership. These were men who were accountable to no earthly power. They were accountable to themselves. Christians in their countries found they had two choices: obey the ruler and live, or obey God and die. So certainly those times today don't seem as evil as what was occurring back then. I'm not saying that's good, that times are as they are now, but certainly they don't seem to be as evil, and Christians don't seem to suffer the persecution that they were suffering. Persecution may be on the rise for different reasons, but it doesn't seem like it's to the level that it was. And even back then, they were told to honor the king. So in summary, we live in a country where people have a say, and they can vote on issues, and they can vote for leaders. Our law allows us to speak freely on almost anything we desire. There's no guarantee that those elected will have biblical moral standards. And even if we think they do, when they go into office, they may not. And we may find out something after they've gone to office, thinking that they were the best choice. Nevertheless, the words in 1 Peter, Romans 13, Titus 3, and 1 Timothy 2, and Matthew 22 remain the same, that we need to do what we've been told to do. Yes, we should strive to elect men who will stand for biblical principles. Yes, we should try to persuade others to live by the Bible. Yes, we should obey God over man. And once elected, when individuals are in power, we are to give honor to those who rule over us. So it's not something that's optional. It's something that's commanded of us to do. We are told to honor the king, give thanks, and pray for them wise, that they'll rule wisely. So with our citizenship, are we glorifying God? Are we glorifying Satan? Are we glorifying our fellow man? Are we glorifying ourselves? Or are we glorifying God? Those are questions that we all need to ask ourselves as we look at our lives, and as we look at how we submit to those governing authorities that we live under. Why do we glorify God with our citizenship? Because we're bought at a price, and we need to glorify him in our body and our spirit, which are God's. That's 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. And we need to be prepared to be exalted. Not to exalt ourselves, but in due time, God will lift us up, as found in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 6. Our next class will be Wednesday evening, and that will be glorifying God through my entertainment, my recreation, and my leisure time. So an opportunity for us to think about how we spend our time and how we can please God through those avenues. As we're working our way through, we're about a little more than halfway through the class. We've had 13 classes, and we have 11 to go, if I counted properly. And James McClenney will be teaching the next class on Wednesday evening. I hope this class has been beneficial to you all, and look forward to being with you again. And hopefully sometime soon we'll be in the building and be able to meet together personally. Thank you so much for helping in so many different ways with our class. I appreciate your comments. Thank you much.